When you actually realise that a quarter of Britons only have conversations about care once an elderly relative starts having problems, and that one in four families could be waiting too long to discuss an older relative's care, clearly something needs to be done. And to address this and other facts, we're delighted to welcome that ace GP and medic extraordinaire, of course, featured on Channel 4's Embarrassing Bodies. That would be the fabulous Dr. Dawn Harper. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Well, I'm all the better for that introduction, Alex. Thank you very much.
Vitally important that this started off in the right way. Now, let's move on to this particular side of things. We talk about obviously a nation that cares, but this is clearly a case where we've kind of got problems on both sides, really. People who are getting more chronologically gifted, shall we say, not really wanting to say that they've got problems and difficulties, and as a result of that, falling into even more difficulties.
Absolutely. And what we're doing today, we're looking at some research which was conducted by CentrePulse. And I'm actually, as a GP, I'll be really honest with you, I'm surprised that those numbers are as low as they are, because I so often see people in surgery who are concerned about their elderly relatives, or even elderly people who are struggling but don't want to tell their family that they're having problems. And I think the baseline is a fear that they are going to lose their independence, that they might be put in a home, that they might be dependent on other people. And in fact, the exact opposite is true. If we start having those conversations slightly earlier, then when we put systems in place, we can keep older and more frail people at home and maintain their independence for longer.
Which is the old saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure or something. And I think possibly thinking ahead can actually help deal with not only less invasive support, but also technology that can help older people to stay living independently for longer.
Absolutely. And today we do have some of the most incredible technology. You know, in the old days, it was people literally having to call in and check up on people. Now we've got all this technology where you can have monitors that you can just press a button and that will go through to a central call system. And they will then have the full record of that individual's medical problems. They will have almost like a triage system, a countdown system of who you call first. So it might be a neighbour, it might be the daughter. And if you can't get hold of those people, you know, eventually you would go through to an ambulance system. So you have a way of protecting people in their own home. We've got technology that means that your elderly relatives can wear a watch that almost acts like a GPS satellite system. So that will tell people where they are, and you can set an alarm. So you can say, right, you know, I know that mum is quite safe or relatively safe walking to the corner shop to get her newspaper and her coffee and her milk or whatever it may be, but she is starting to wander, and whilst she knows that route very well, if she took a wrong turning somewhere else, she could be vulnerable and lost. So you can actually set alarms so that if that watch goes out of a certain boundary, it will send an alert to the central offices.
You mentioned, of course, CentrePulse, who are responsible for commissioning this particular survey. It's a not-for-profit group, part of a not-for-profit group for Circle Housing. They help more than 125,000 people to live independently. From your own perspective as a GP, is that good news, or would you prefer it all to be packed in one sort of particular home and we just sort of visit it and one stop fits all, basically?
Oh, absolutely. I would prefer people to be as independent as they can. And most people would feel very strongly that they want to stay independently. I've been working with CentrePulse and Ruth Langsford, who I work with on this morning, has recently got this system for her mum. Occasionally, you meet older people who really are becoming very insecure, and they want that security of living in an environment where they have care 24/7. But more often than not, older people are keen to maintain their independence and stay in their own home. And I think that's where CentrePulse and companies like this can actually really help. And they'll also give peace of mind to relatives who, particularly today, may be geographically quite far away.
There is a suggestion, of course, that as we proceed through the 21st century, our increasing number of people living to more extended years continues to grow, etc. Do you think we're woefully unprepared for living longer, or is it a case of, no, we are beginning to act and act appropriately at the right time?
I think we are beginning to act and act appropriately, but we've still got a long way to go. And systems like this and raising awareness of this, you know, we're not talking about hugely expensive technology here. This starts from just over £3 a week. You know, the basic system is £3 a week. That is not a lot of money for your reassurance, your peace of mind, and your mum or your dad's independence.
And the best way to actually find out details about this, presumably, if folk are listening to this, they say, yes, but what's the website? Do we just actually type in Centre Pulse and find out details from that point of view, Dawn?
Absolutely. It's centrepulse.org.uk, and there's so much information on there. Anybody who's got a relative that they're starting to worry about, I would say, have a look on that website. Be armed with all the information and then be proactive. Start having these conversations early so that you can set systems in place before there's a crisis.
Queen once sang a song, hey, saying, who wants to live forever? Well, actually, probably a lot of people do. But obviously, as long as the style and living of that continues to go on. Dawn, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self this morning. Many thanks for some really incisive comments with respect to, obviously, ways in which we can actually start talking about care for the elderly and more, actually, from that point of view, but from both sides of the coin. Two final questions for your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
I've had a wonderful start to my day, Alex. You've been charming. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, then, the next critical question is, can we hopefully look forward to featuring you again in the not-too-distant future and keeping us updated with all life and times, whether it be to do with elderly bodies, embarrassing bodies, or elderly parents.
Absolutely, I'd love to come back. Thank you.
It's just as well that Ian Lennox is neither elderly nor indeed sort of worried about life or the rest of the sort of bits and pieces. Isn't that right, Ian?
I'm certainly elderly.
No, surely not. You know, never mind. Some interesting thoughts there.
I come up to another birthday and if I ever get a bit informed about my candles on my cake.
But, you know, 197 is no age, Ian. You know, you make that second century before too long. Exciting or breaking news, Jessica Ward, for she is in the studio with us, is still at the end of chapter 5. Is that right, Jessica?
No, not quite.
Not quite.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Yes.
Chapter 3 of Gentlemen and Players. But it's still there. Is it still on your bed, Jessica?
No, it's on my bookshelf.
It's moved to the bookshelf, Ian. So
all right, that's the end of that then.
Well, yes, and many people might say the same thing after CSKA result yesterday, but I won't even go there because it's just too.
Oh, yes, I watched that game.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah. Well, I can't understand how I only beat you 2-0.
Okay, fine. Well, you know, you sort of folk who believe that Alan Pardew is the Messiah, you know, just remember how it sort of switched around rapidly from that point of view. Beating Liverpool as well. Outrageous. Anyway, moving on. Where were you? What have you been doing recently, Ian? What's the sort of line that you've been there? Because, you know, clearly we've looked at your Facebook thing. We haven't seen any. I mean, we've seen lots of retweets and various other factors.
Yeah.
What would you like to focus on?
The most important thing and happened to me at the moment is that I was going through some old computer files and I found a manuscript I'd put onto the computer on my hard drive, written about 40 years ago, I think it was. And it was a book, a thriller I'd written. And it was one of those, in those days you got, if you sent them a whole manuscript off, which you always did, you knew you'd been rejected if the whole thing came back. And this particular book, got a letter, not a manuscript, saying, start out, congratulations, you've written a first-class thriller. And then it went on to say, unfortunately, I cannot use it for various reasons. One of, all about sales in Ireland or something, or I can't remember what it was. So anyway, I started reading, I thought I could work with this, so I started to go through it again, and I'm hoping to put it onto Kindle.
Yeah, you see, that's the kind of magic that's there. We knew what we said a week or so ago. So what are you going to be writing on next? And you said, I don't know. Just the universe was bringing in new magic. Can you give us any teasers, Ian? What's the theme? What's the sort of general rationale? What sort of exciting things can we look forward to in it?
Well, the problem I've got is when I wrote it, it was original plot, but it has been the other books, I think, have come up with a similar theme. It's about a middle-class bank manager who, in middle-class terms, is doing rather well. He's wealthy, quite wealthy. He's happily, well, he's married with a child, but he is unhappy, and his family get killed in a bank raid, and it's what happens after that, basically.
Sounds as though it's got the usual gripping nature of Ian Lennox thriller all over the whole thing. Jessica, questions or thoughts from yourself?
You've recently been to Canada. What were you doing over there? And
I was just on a holiday. I've got a sister who lives out there with her family, and I try to get out there once a year for about 5 or 6 weeks. And basically, we've toured around, but this time I stayed in the Edmonton area, and just basically walked, sunbathed, and read a lot, and thoroughly enjoyed it. That Canada has the most beautiful summers. you know, it's the temperature varies from the high 30s to low 20s for most days in the summer. And I just had a lovely, relaxing time, which I needed, actually. I'd had a quite stressful year.
It's all those weekly sort of contributions to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. there's his makeup that needs to be done. There's the entourage of Ian Lennox, acolytes who kind of sort of will work through the whole thing. The wake-up procedure. It's quite a scenario that actually happens in the joys of Jesmond. So it's very strange. Actually, is it Jesmond or Gosforth?
Gosforth,
yeah.
Well, Jesmond's adjoining...
Oh, exactly. You see, you could easily stumble into one without realising it. Just kind of crossing the border, really, a bit like a time zone.
No passport needed, though.
Not yet.
No,
not your time, you know. I mean, we're only slipped between Gateshead.
These Independence for Gosforth.
Exactly. These are the kind of things that clearly Jessica will find out about when she moves further north and finally gets on a location report system. But anyway, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre on Sunday, the 9th of November at 7:30 p.m. are running a thing called Unite the Scene 2014. Very good, bit of poetry there. Unite the Scene 2014, in its fourth successive year, a platform which will bring together Lincoln's dance scene for a night of unmissable entertainment. The show features the work of a variety of schools, crews and companies from all areas of the community, as well as guest performances and workshops throughout the day. It's in association with Arts NK. Tickets £10, concessions £8. Enquiries as ever to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, 01522 837 600. Ian, we've got just enough time to actually feature Joe Leah Tilbury with this week's Cameron Tilbury tune, Love You Back. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Excellent. Bit of an understatement there. But anyway, Ian Lennox, what did you make of Love You Back by Joe Leah Tilbury?
I liked it. It's one of those songs you can hum along even though you haven't heard of it before.
Exactly.
And, I mean, listening on the telephone is not ideal with listening to music, obviously.
Very true.
But, yeah, I thought it was quite interesting arrangement as well.
There we are. Well, it's a winner, clearly. It's great stuff there. So, yes, great stuff. I think, Jessica, second time around for yourself, still get that magic, do you think?
Yes, definitely.
It's a shock of all sorts of things from that point of view. Well, Ian, you know, on the show upcoming, we have Dean from the extraordinarily wonderful band Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers, who are performing at Hartlepool in a few moments, so that's always very good. Actually, a few days. And we'll hopefully be speaking to Pauline Fleming, who is currently in the HIV play Testing Times, but she's in Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Brookside, etc. William Sitwell will be with us. But Jessica, those last two questions for Ian Lennox now, please.
Have you enjoyed this week's midweek drive?
Yes, I would have enjoyed it more if you got the chapter 5, mind.
chapter 5.
So, next question.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yes, I hope so.
Splendid. Right. Ian Lennox, he will return. The news from the Sky News Centre is coming up in around about 22 seconds from now on Siren 107.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
So you've got to tease and trail, but not necessarily give away the plot, so that's the important thing. Weather today, highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 8 degrees centigrade, a clear cold start with fog patches thinning slowly. Outbreaks of rain in the afternoon, that's pretty much your lot. It's the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Earlier in the production, Sarah Huntley was taken, I think almost beyond measure, by the sheer joy that was brought to the world, musically speaking, by Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers. It equally, last night, Jessica, I think, generated a lot of interest in terms of when we got into the whole notion of tweed jacket. I mean, I think it's fair to say, probably even in New Zealand, not actually heard anything quite as marvellous and wonderful as
Nothing like it at all,
quite literally. And so, as always, keeping our promise, we're delighted to be able to welcome from the aforementioned Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers, only the one and only Dean Murray. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, Chief.
Yeah. So, first question actually from Sarah Huntley. She sort of had to head off to do some teaching, etc. But she says, do you intend after tweed jacket to effectively work your way through the wardrobe? Will you be going through shirts, socks, various other factors as well?
All the different compartments.
Clearly,
I don't know, really. I think shirts has already been covered extensively.
The Bonzo Dog Band did indeed do a shirt song, amongst other things, and start off with a shirt thing. But clearly, there are other items of apparel which you could actually analyse, I'm sure.
It's true, yeah. Wingtips, something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Caps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always good. Yeah, particularly if we're talking about caps as well, when you're performing at the Fisherman's Arms in Southgate, Hartlepool, a flat cap I would have thought is de rigueur, really. You know, so, I'm not making any northern bias sort of line here, because clearly, as I travel down to Lincoln from the northeast, I usually actually have to check in the Whippet at Doncaster en route. But that's by the by. As we said, imagine the subversive surrealism of Vic Reeves, the splendid chappery of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and the wistful poetic eclecticism of the Divine Comedy, and you're heading close to the space occupied by Leeds foursome, Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers. How did you come up with the name? I mean, that's the first question, in essence, Dean. You know, was it just a case of, you know, half man, half biscuit, but you thought that was only 50% of the way? You'd take it the whole route.
No, I mean, one of my friends was on the phone, and I was out to be in the same room, and he said to someone on the phone, "Oh, I feel like a terrible biscuit head today." And I just, after he came off the phone, I said, "Is that a thing that people say?" And he was like, "No," but I said, "Well, can I use it for the band?" And he was, "Yeah," and he agreed. So that's why that bit of the name came from. And the Badgers part of it is because Bob, who plays piano in the band, can't tell the difference when I say Badgers or Badges. So that was where that came from.
Very, very good. Yes. We had thought you might have actually named it after the Siren mascot, which indeed is a badger, and indeed sort of sitting in the corner of the room. But obviously, it's just ideal for when you come in and do studio stuff. Clearly, this particular thing has. I mean, the album Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan already teasing us with a joy of contemporary issues from soy milk to David Attenborough, from tea and biscuits to mysterious uncles, as well as the lament at the past of dinosaurs and an in-depth study of the formation of snow. Is it a case of I mean, clearly you're not on any strange, weird substances, and I guess we wouldn't admit it if you were. But, I mean, in terms of that whole sequence, do you just sort of start looking at association, or is it just a case of, well, this is what people in Leeds talk about because we can't suffer our football team anymore?
I think it would be a disservice to the people of Leeds to suggest that they talked about the kind of things that we talk about all the time. It's just, I mean, to be honest, Soy Milk and Dinosaurs, they were part of an idea for a song competition that we had. So fans of the band on Facebook and on the internet just wrote in with a different idea. And we just thought, well, yeah, what does that mean to me? What comes into my mind when I think of dinosaurs or something like that? It's all just stuff I'm kind of interested in, or, yeah.
It makes perfect sense in so many ways. Jessica, questions and thoughts from yourself.
It says here that you play the ukulele. Do you play any other instruments?
I just play the ukulele, but everyone else in the band is like a multi-instrumentalist genius. I only play the ukulele. Sam plays the tuba and the French horn, amongst other things. And Bob plays the piano, guitar, bass, anything you could possibly ask he can get a tune out of, really. And Matt plays the sax as well as the drum. They're all very, very good musicians, and I'm kind of riding along on their coattails.
And what better way than to start a world tour with the quintet of quality, the fabulous fivesome that are Leeds, Colchester, Hartlepool, Oxford and York. Genius.
Exactly. So tomorrow the world.
The first leg of the 2014 World Tour. Listen, we cannot tease people any longer. We gave a sort of airing in the first part of the programme. We featured it full last night, but as we said to Sarah Hundley, we cut it short before we got to the heavy breathing. I'll say that again. Cut it short before we got to the heavy breathing.
Not very radio friendly.
No. We finished it last night. I'm just putting out a little kind of a little warner. A little, people are sort of thinking, hang on, I can't cope with this. You know, the children have gone off to school. Am I ready for some heavy breathing? No. But if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, Dean, we'd like you again introduce, of course, your good self with Tweed Jacket and the aforementioned, Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badges. Over to you, Dean. Sell it to us, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, this song means a lot to us, and I hope you can all enjoy it in your own spare time, if you can.
Tweed jacket, I only want to wear you tweed jacket.
Genuinely mustache-powered troubadours. Outrageous. Kept with, of course, the heavy breathing in full force. I have been privileged to be invited by Manila PR and Tony McDonough to actually attend the award-winning dinner that they're actually having up in Middlesbrough for the fantastic, successful Middlesbrough-Manila PR bike team. I feel if we don't actually have a play of Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badges, it would be just that little less successful. Never mind, that's just a word for obviously Tony McDonough. Dean, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, yes.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Because sometimes, making their debut on the programme, you say, I've had enough, I've heard this before, I'm going now, thank you very much. Jessica, you were saying that they must have such fun, and we've been looking at the cut-out and keep figures, and I think you suggested that maybe undergraduates the world over could consider actually making their own Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badges, you know, for entertainment value and all sorts of things. Gifts for Christmas, perhaps, would be useful. But anyway, Jessica, over to you, please.
As in,
any thoughts or observations you got over the aforementioned biscuity website, Biscuit Head, and the Biscuit Badges?
It's an amazing website, actually, looking at this. It's definitely unique, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. You can even have the Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan songbook. You know, you can make your own entertainment with a 50-page long songbook, all the songs from the new album, with the tune, the words, and the ukulele chords.
Yep, you can play along.
Oh, that's amazing.
And around the fire. Yeah.
So are your parents happy with the kind of job that you've gone into then, Dean, or do they sometimes sort of think, maybe our son, Dean, maybe he'll get a proper job one of these days?
Yeah, I don't think they're desperately ashamed. No. At least they've never said so.
I mean, actually, I just share with us the background. I mean, obviously, was it something you kind of decided, yeah, from the moment you popped out of the womb, you said, I want to play the ukulele? You know, what's sort of taking you to this strange route to surrealist magic and so on?
Well, I mean, in terms of the ukulele, I used to play the guitar, but I wasn't very good at it, really. So I started playing the ukulele, and I'm loads better at that. So I just, that seemed to be the thing to do. Also, it's quite a jolly thing, isn't it, the ukulele? Mm. It's a jolly instrument to write fun things on.
And have you ever been tempted to break into a George Formby turned out nice again approach?
It's never really worked for me, to be honest. No. That it's somehow I think the ridiculously posh voice works better for me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you see, it's about. I mean, are you from Leeds originally? Is that an area, or have you come from a different part of the country entirely?
No, I'm from Runcorn originally, near Cheshire, near Liverpool.
Actually, the Lancashire sort of magic of When I'm Cleaning Windows and George Formby, possibly there is some genetic link there, you know, in terms of, you know, ukulele playing, George Formby, etc. Or maybe it was a banjo. No, it was ukulele. Anyway, it's very confusing.
Yeah, no, it's all there.
Exactly. The performance, of course, at Hartlepool is indeed on the 8th of December. Is it 8th of November? Let me get this right. Saturday, the 8th of November. This Saturday, the Fisherman's Arms on Southgate is where you can actually see the fabulous Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers. Now, that's Hartlepool ticked off. We don't see Lincoln as yet appearing, yep. Jessica. I think there's a big, big loss there. Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, we've got the Engine Shed, we've got the Drill Hall, we've got all the venues.
We've got a lot of opportunities.
Yeah,
there,
I mean, yeah. You know, is it something we said, Dean? You know, is it something that you've got against Lincoln folk in general? Or did you think, well, you know...
I feel thoroughly ashamed now that we've never been to Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
That'll weigh heavy on me until
we can correct it somewhere. If the world tour is to take off, as well as Leeds, Colchester, Hartlepool, Oxford and York, clearly Lincoln needs to be in there as well. So
It's true. I've always admired your sausages.
Yeah. Again, a bit early in the morning to actually go down that personal routine, but never mind. We'll just hold fire on the whole system, and we know where we're going there. It's perfectly okay. As we said, you can go to Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers, mustache-powered troubadours. The website, you put it into a search engine and all sorts of magical things there. The album, Dinosaurs Ate My Caravan, available now. Copies available. You can even actually get interactive. You can send in photographs to the galleries because there's a request that's made. I think a very heartfelt request as well in terms of the sequence that comes through about sending in your own views and thoughts on the whole sort of issue we've got. Do you have any gorgeous biscuity photos for our galleries? Cutout adventures, other photos, gigs, etc. You especially love cutout adventure photos. So there we are. It's a little peel that's gone through from that. Dean, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self in so many ways. I feel as though I've taken on a whole new sort of era of life, etc. And William Sitwell obviously has got a big act to follow as we sort of progress with that whole thing. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the programme today?
I have had a lovely time. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, that's very critical. So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not too distant future as the Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers are... Dream Team continues to seek and attain global domination.
Yes, I'll see you at the Globe.
Hey, there we are. You see, exactly. Yeah, is that the Globe Theatre where we throw tomatoes now? Surely that's I think Richard Fitzgerald's doing it. Exactly, it'll be there. Globe is ordered. Dean Murray, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye bye.